Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus says, "Take, this is my body." Just before he was betrayed, suffered, and was crucified for us under Pontius Pilate, Jesus gave us, Christians, a holy meal to eat and drink, his true body and blood in and under the bread and wine. So what might people think when they hear Christians say they're eating Christ's body and drinking his blood in the Holy Supper? As Christians, we confess that we receive the very body and blood of Christ in, with, and under the bread and wine, in our hands and in our mouths. This is a profound wonder, an unexplainable mystery. We call it a sacramental union of Christ's body with the bread and Christ's blood with the wine. Tonight we have with us our 8th grade confirmands. We're going to take their first communion with the body of Christ here at Holy Cross. So with our confirmands, let us ask Luther's famous question, what does this mean? The answer lies in Jesus' words. In fact, they're his last words in the upper room on Holy Thursday. The Apostle John, really assuming that you've already read the accounts of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, actually devotes five whole chapters of his gospel to telling us about what happened in the upper room and the conversation that went on. What Jesus said. The last thing that he said was this. Just before Jesus and his disciples left the upper room to cross the Kidron Valley, leaving Jerusalem, going to the Mount of Olives and the Garden of Gethsemane. The Garden of Gethsemane, as the choir is going to sing about in a few minutes. Jesus prays to the Father, and he says this. He prays to the Father that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them. So confirmands. At the very end of the Last Supper, just before Jesus is betrayed and crucified and suffers under Pontius Pilate, he says he wants to be not just with you, but in you. In the Lord's Supper, he gives himself to you. He pledges never, never to leave you or forsake you. He won't do that because he's in you. And so he comes to you this evening, inviting you to take his body in a sacramental union of your body with his body, in which your human flesh takes into it his unblemished purity. And his human flesh takes upon it your guilt and your iniquity. That's what he takes to the cross. You see, the redemption of human flesh is the whole purpose of the sacramental union of the Word becoming flesh and dwelling among us. Sacramental union. What does this mean? By the power of God's Word, God joins two separate things, two distinct things, into one another and creates something that is unique. Something that still carries with it the distinct elements of what it was. Bread. The body of Christ, into one thing that is new and unique and brought together and holy. That's what sacramental means, holy things. God's Word describes a picture of that as holy matrimony between a husband and a wife, as a picture of how Christ joins himself to the church. Our marriages are a picture of that. Sometimes a poor picture of it. But it's a picture of that sacramental union. In our marriages, each person is distinct, yet they are united in a new and different way. In fact, a way that leads to new life. And in the Lord's Supper, Christians receive a foretaste of the feast to come. The feast to come is that wedding supper of the Lamb of God, to the church. Christ and His church brought together. St. John alludes to this as the messianic bread of the Last Supper, the hidden manna, hidden because the future banquet is hidden to us, not visible, but nevertheless real, just as real as Christ's own promise. This is my body. This is my blood. And just as the bread is sacramentally united to Christ's body, and as Christ is sacramentally united to His own church, so too are all believers, all of us, sacramentally united to one another through Christ. That's what happens when we participate in the Holy Supper. Paul says it tonight in our epistle. He says, "The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread. We who are many are one body, because we all partake of the one bread." The Lutheran theologian Hermann Sasse said it this way: "There would be no church at all if it were not for the Holy Supper. Where the church is, there the supper is also celebrated. Where the supper is celebrated, there the church is. The Lord's Supper, together with baptism, alongside the Holy Gospel, are the essential marks of the church." Can we even conceive of the church at the time of the apostles without the breaking of bread in the early congregation in Jerusalem? Can we conceive of the church without the Pauline congregations, without the Lord's Supper? That's what they did. They devoted themselves to what? The breaking of the bread and fellowship and prayer. But the supper was never intended for all who are present, but only for the baptized and later the confirmed. Only one who believes in Christ understands the supper. For everyone else, it's inconceivable. It's senseless. It's maybe even offensive. "Take, eat, this is my body." What would the world say to these words? And Jesus himself had even said earlier, "He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." At that point, even some of Jesus' followers were in such shock that they left him, saying, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" So it's understandable. Rumors surrounded the early church that the Christians practiced cannibalism in their secret divine services. But by Jesus saying, "I am the bread of life," Jesus declared himself to be the sustenance of life for everyone who received him and believed in him. So by his word and the sacrament, Christ effects a communion between the bread and his body for all who eat of it. As Martin Luther said, "For as soon as Christ says, 'This is my body,' his body is present through the Word and the power of the Holy Spirit. If the Word is not there, it is mere bread. But as soon as the words are added, they bring with them that which they speak." So when Jesus says, "This is my body," the eternal God chooses how he's going to deal with human beings through the human nature of his Son, one of us. These same words are repeated in all in the Gospels, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. We read them together in confirmation class. Remember that? We read all the Gospel accounts of this evening. And Matthew, Mark, and Luke say exactly, precisely the same Greek words. Tuta estin ta soma mu. This is my body. Every one of them. And just as we read the Gospel accounts together in confirmation class, so the early church gathered these accounts of what happened that night, including Paul's account, and put them together in the harmony of what we say, the words of institution that we're going to use tonight. Because we were not going to lose one promise of Jesus from that night. And the church also remembered, with what I guess you could say is bittersweet anticipation, this promise of Jesus. Jesus says, "Truly I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." And in doing that, in saying that, Jesus assures us that in Christ's own person, human nature, our human nature, our sinful, evil, guilt-ridden human nature, in the person of Jesus, is sanctified, made holy, blessed, purified, and attached to Him, to the glorification of Jesus the Messiah. To Him is attached your glorification. That's what you have to look forward to. Until then, until our glorification is the same as the exalted body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, until then, by the bread and the wine, when Jesus says, "Take," He provides us an effective physical sign of His promise, of His grace that is applied to us in the Lord's Supper. So confirmands, parents, grandparents, and families, all who are brothers in Christ, are you prepared? Are you prepared to discern the body of Christ in this sacrament? Confirmands, as I've said earlier, we've read all the scripture accounts for this evening. We've read first from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. We've talked about what does this mean from the small catechism. We've gone through Luther's questions and answers for Christians preparing for the sacrament. You've had assignments to talk to your parents and your family about what Holy Communion means to them. You've had opportunities to ask your parents and your pastor and others, including last year's confirmation class, what the Holy Sacrament means. You've seen it many times here before. So are you ready? Are you ready to receive the body of the Lord in your mouth? Are you ready to receive the sacramental union of Christ's body to yours for the redemption of your body and your soul? Are you ready to receive a foretaste of the heavenly feast to come? Your Lord comes to you this evening. He simply invites you to take his body, given for you, into death for the forgiveness of all your sins, unto life everlasting. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.